Hello, welcome back to Below the Bar podcast. So it's been a while. I haven't recorded an episode since I think October time, 2024. I just got so busy. The podcast wasn't a priority anymore, but I'm back now and I'm back into the swing of things. But let me just explain why I was kind of absent from the podcast. So a lot has changed since then. So I've gotten into running. I ran a half marathon. I've been abroad like four times since January. I think the last episode I uploaded, I was speaking about my calorie deficit. So I had finished up a calorie deficit at the start of November. I wanted to lose a bit of weight just for the Christmas period. Damage control, really, to make a bit of room. I think it was like 60 kg or 62 kg. And I finished at like 57.5 kg. And now today I'm 65 kg. So obviously a lot has happened between now and November last year. So enjoyed my Christmas, you know, felt great. And it's funny, I remember wearing a pair of jeans on Christmas Day and they were like so loose on me. Like you could, you know, the way you can pull at the waistband and there's like a huge gap. And I'm like, oh my God, like these are a size 10. Like I'm nearly fitting back into a size 8, which is what I was this time last year when I did my fitness photo shoot. And I tried those jeans on today and like they closed on me, but they were so tight around my bum and my thighs, because that's where a lot of my body fat goes when I gain weight. So yeah, that was humbling. But also, look, a lot has happened. I've been abroad like four times. So I was out of routine and I had left my coach in September. Like there was no bad blood or anything like that. I was with him for like 2 years. I did two photo shoots. You know, started at like nearly 72 kg with him and I got down to like 52 kg when I did my fitness photo shoot eventually over the course of 2 years. You know, we did a lot of work on myself and I just felt like, look, Adam, I'm happy to just be by myself now and coach myself, and I might be back to you one day if, you know, things kind of go off the rails a bit. Well, not off the rails, but if I need your help again, just for some accountability, because I do have the experience to coach myself. But sometimes, you know, we are human and sometimes we need someone else to answer to. Excuse me. But yeah, so I ended up coaching myself then, lost that bit away for Christmas, happy days. And then I had booked Lanzarote in January, went away, had a great time. I think I put on a couple of pounds over Christmas, but that was fine. That was expected. Went to Lanzarote, probably put on a couple of pounds then. Then I went to Arizona. I went with RTE to film something for 5 days. Now, 5 days isn't an awful lot of time to do damage, but I wasn't like counting calories over there either. You know, I was just kind of like judging by eye and stuff. And I was obviously enjoying like some tasty food. And then I came home. And then a few weeks later, I was going to New York. Now, when I went to New York, I had a TikTok library of places I wanted to try. I wanted to try food places and stuff. So I wasn't going over there, you know, thinking, oh, like I'm not gonna not eat this or I'm not gonna drink alcohol or anything. Like I wasn't going over in a calorie deficit mindset. Like I was going over to live my life, because I'm very lucky at the moment that I am in a financially good position to travel, and I'm going to take advantage of that. Because this time 10 years ago, you know, I was counting pennies, I was working in extra vision, I couldn't do much, I was living on like a part-time wage. Like, so this year I wanted to travel, I wanted to see the world, I wanted to do fun things, I wanted to live my life. But you know, at the core of all that, I was still going to the gym, I was still getting my steps in. It's just sometimes, especially while I was abroad, I wasn't really focused on like calories. But anyway, New York, had a great time, definitely put on a few pounds. Like went over for Paddy's Day, obviously went out Paddy's Day, was trying like different bakeries, different like restaurants and stuff. Came home and I think I was up at about 64 kg. And then obviously then I traveled for 3 weeks and I went to Thailand and Australia. That was the most recent one in May. And when I was over there, like I was trying all the Thai food, you know, had a couple of cocktails every few days, went out maybe 3 times over the 3 weeks. Yeah, just really enjoying Thai food and stuff. Wasn't worried about calories. However, you know, I was still doing some runs on the treadmill in the gyms. I was doing a lot of steps, especially in PP Islands in Thailand, where there's no mode of transport, so you have to walk everywhere. My steps were quite high over there. I think I did 2 workouts a week over the 3 weeks, and they were just full body exercises, full body workouts. And then I came home and I was up at 67 kg. So obviously between New York and my trip to Thailand slash Sydney, there was 4 weeks where I went into a calorie deficit, and I was basically just kind of like losing a few pounds from, you know, the previous holidays, just to make a little bit of wiggle room while I was going away for 3 weeks, because I knew I was going to be eating a lot and stuff. So it was a bit strategic. So I got from 64 kg after New York back down to like 62 kg. And then when I came back from Thailand, I was up at 67. But that's obviously a lot of water retention. You know, I was eating more carbs, traveling and stuff like that. And then my true weight was about 65. So that was up to like kind of last week. So yeah, 65 kg. Now I know I'm talking a lot, an awful lot about numbers, and this is kind of something I just want to briefly discuss. We can be obsessed with the scale, okay? But the reason I didn't really weigh myself much over the last 4 months, to be honest. I'd say every few days or maybe once a week I would stand on the scale, just to, especially after I was away, just to kind of get an idea of where I was, you know, because when I stopped working with my coach and then when I finished my diet last November, I kind of didn't pay attention to the scale much. However, I was still getting my steps in. I was still doing some cardio. Obviously, I was training for a half marathon. I obviously gained some weight as well, like because of the amount of food I was eating to train for a half marathon and like doing multiple runs a week and stuff. But sometimes I think we can become very focused on the scale. However, it also is an inclination that like, right, and you're starting to drift a bit here and you're starting to put on weight. And that can be a reflection of the lifestyle that you're living. However, it's not as if, you know, I went through a bad period where I was binging, I was going off the rails, I was binge drinking, I was just sitting in every night, you know, ordering takeaways. No, like that weekend is a reflection of experiences I had, memories I created, like, you know, traveling, doing things that I would never be in a position to do this time a few years ago, you know, when we were in lockdown, or, you know, this time 10 years ago when I was living off 100 quid a week. Like, I actually don't feel that bad, to be honest, about any weight gain, like, because I know I can easily undo it. I've done multiple calorie deficits in the past, and I know it's just a matter of, right, you've nothing on now for the rest of the year, which I knew at the back of my mind when I was having all these holidays. Look, you know, come the end of May, you don't have anything on for the rest of the year, anything, you know, more than a week away. And let's have a good run at it now. Let's put your head down. You've had your fun, and let's just kind of get back now to, you know, trim and proper, because I did like how trim I was last year, and I felt more confident than ever. And, you know, I look at myself in the mirror now, and I'm not degrading myself, but I am like, okay, and you're like, you let yourself drift a bit, but that's okay, we can undo it. But there was just never a big enough window in between all those holidays to actually go on a proper calorie deficit, so I just had to save face and be like, okay, and you just get all these holidays out of the way, just kind of, you know, make sure when you're home, like, you're back in the gym, you're back smashing your steps and your cardio, and then, you know, once May comes around, then you can put your head down then for the rest of the summer. So I always had that in the back of my mind, so I'm not beating myself up too much. But let me just get back. What was I talking about there? Again, my mind just drifts when I'm speaking. I have a list here. So yeah, I was very out of routine, obviously, over the last 4 months. And that did kind of affect me mentally, because I crave structure. I crave routine. So although I was having a blast going on these holidays and stuff and making memories, like, at the back of my mind, I was like, right, I'm enjoying myself, but I also do love routine and I crave routine. So it's nice now to be back in that situation or that position. And, you know, while I was away, yeah, I enjoyed lovely food. Like, Thai food is so tasty. And then American food is just deep fried. Like, I'm more of a sweet tooth, so I just tried like bakeries and stuff over there, which were really nice. But also, just to touch on, like, I remember I used to suffer really bad with anxiety. So when I used to go away years ago, I wouldn't eat while I was abroad. It was nothing to do with my weight or anything like that. I was just so anxious that I would have no appetite. And it was always worse when I went away, my anxiety, because, you know, I was just such a home bored. I preferred my own bed, my own home comforts. It was like my safe space. But when I was away, I just felt like I was an alien in another country. Like, it was just weird. And I would have no appetite. So I used to be so hungry on holiday. And like, I would want to eat, but my brain was like, no, you don't have an appetite. You can't eat this. And like, my friends would be like, are you okay? Like, you're not eating or anything. And I just like, I've grown out of that, and I've obviously like went on multiple holidays now to the point where my brain's like, okay, this is actually not dangerous. Food isn't going to harm you. Like, you know, we get anxiety because from years, like, thousands of years ago, it was basically protecting us from, you know, wildlife like tigers and stuff like that. And I'm like, you're not being attacked by a tiger, it's a plate of fucking food, like, grow up. So yeah, I've grown out of that, so it's great now to be away and enjoy all like the local cuisines and stuff like that. But anyway, so yeah, this time last year I was just fresh off a photo shoot. Now I'm 22 pounds heavier, And I'm back with my coach now. I'm back working with Adam. So yeah, I did coach myself just before Christmas, which was fine. But again, like I said at the start of the podcast, I am human. And I got back in touch with him. I was like, look, Adam, I have kind of drifted since the start of the year. And I'd like to just have a bit of accountability, someone to answer to, because, you know, I just find like I can coach myself. That's no problem. But I just feel like it can twist your arm that little bit more. But Adam doesn't take bullshit, you know, and you have to show up every week with like the goods and the box ticking. So I know like he'll hold me accountable. So what is my plan? So I'm aiming for a look. So we agreed that we're aiming for a look. Okay, I have 14 weeks ahead of me. I have a weekend booked at the end of August. I'm going on a hens to Benidorm. So obviously I'll be in bikinis and stuff like that. So that's just kind of like a target. I'm not losing weight for Benidorm, but it's just like a nice target to have. So yeah, I have 14 weeks to lose 14 pounds. So to lose a stone. So I'm hoping to get back to around 57 kg. Now, look, if I don't land on that, that's fine. We're aiming for a look more so than a specific number. And yeah, just my pre-Christmas weight, really. So what's the plan? So I'm going to be doing 5 gym sessions a week, 20 minutes of cardio after each gym session, and 11,000 steps per day. So this is currently the end of week one. So I'm 1 week in a calorie deficit now. And did I tick every box on what's needed of me? No. So I got all my gym sessions done. That was one thing that I was able to do 100% this week. My cardio, I was able to do that. 11,000 steps. I'd say on average, I got about 8,000 to 9,000. And then towards the end of the week, I was hitting the 11,000. So me and my coach were talking about this as well, okay? So easing into it is so important, because a lot of people, like, this is 14 weeks. So imagine me, like, going hell for leather in week one, like, trying to tick every single box and, you know, giving every box 100% or 200%. Like, that's very overwhelming. You can't give 200% over 14 weeks, because, you know, after the second or third week, you're going to start burning out and you're like, I can't keep up with this. So if you just accept, and this goes for anyone, this goes out to anyone who wants to start a calorie deficit, you have to accept that this is a long period of time, okay? If you want to lose a pound a week, let's just say a stone, that's 14 weeks, which is my goal. It's a long period of time. So would I be going into week one on 1,200 calories? No. What, like over 3 months ahead of me? 1,200 calories over 3 months, like that's torture. Like we might finish in the last 2 weeks at 1,400 calories, or the last 4 weeks at like 1,400 calories. But to start on 1,400 calories or 1,300 calories in week one and you have 3 months ahead of you, like it's just never going to work. It's not sustainable. So you have to build the momentum. So again, towards the end of this week, I eventually got up to the 11,000 steps, and my coach was like, that's fine. That's great. You know, you're going to get there. He even said himself, he's like, Enya, like, yeah, you've been going to the gym here and there and you've been getting your steps. And you've been, you know, doing some cardio with your running and stuff. He was like, but now you're back working with me and like you have to follow, you know, a rigid schedule. And he's like, are you going to pick that up in week one? No, you're not. Like, it's going to take a few weeks for you to eventually find your rhythm. And, you know, 11,000 steps, that's an awful lot. Like, I've been used to kind of getting 8,000 to 10,000, and now I have to get 11. So it's very time consuming to do 11,000 steps. Like, I think an hour and a half is about 9,000 steps. Now, I don't do it in one go, like I break it up throughout the day, but like it is time consuming, and you have to fit in your gym session, you have to fit in your steps, and then, you know, you have other stuff to do outside of working out, like work and stuff, and then you're cooking and that, you know, like it takes a lot of planning. Like losing body fat with a plan, with a proper plan in place, you know, it takes a lot of planning. So if I had any advice, you know, if you have like a number of boxes to be ticked every day, in week one or week two, focus on just ticking maybe 1 to 2 boxes. And that could be getting your workouts done, getting all your workouts done in week one. And then, you know, gradually working on your step count, maybe working on your protein target as well. Just focus on 1 or 2. And then, you know, as the weeks go on, you'll start to find your feet. You'll start to figure out like, okay, yeah, it's better for me to walk in the morning or do my cardio in the morning because that's when I have the most energy. Or it's better for me to work out in the evening because, you know, the gym is, I don't know, whatever reason you have, like you finish work at a certain time and it's just ideal for you to go to the gym after work or before work or whatever. It takes time, but a lot of people, they just run into a calorie deficit on the lowest calorie number possible. They're not even using a TDE calculator online to find out what the calories are. They're just picking a number out of the sky. They're not focusing on protein. They're just focusing on calories in general. And that could just be, you know, 1400 calories worth of vegetables and, you know, rice and plain chicken and stuff. Like they're miserable and it never works. It hasn't worked before and it won't work now. Okay. So you can, you know, eat what you want, but you have to be smart about it, because at the end of the day, like if you are filling your days with, if you are filling your days with like empty food that has like empty nutrition in it, like it's not going to be sustainable, you know? So you do have to be smart about it. Just pick foods, whole foods, like protein with each meal. Like for example, my usual go-to is I build my own little meal plan. It's like a little menu. I have my oats, my protein powder. Then for lunch, I'll have like maybe spaghetti bolognese. And then for dinner, I might have like a chicken curry or something like that. And then my snacks are usually like a cappuccino with low-fat milk and a protein bar. And then maybe like a Kit Kat, you know, like the two-finger ones. I just recycle the same foods all the time because it's foods that I enjoy, not because they're like magic fat-burning meals. They're foods that I enjoy. They're quick to make and I can sustain that over long periods. Even when I'm not in a calorie deficit, I'd probably still eat that type of food as well. But yeah, so my one bit of advice for anyone starting a long-term calorie deficit, like if you're giving yourself 3 months to lose a stone, don't go in at 200%, okay? Like by week 3 or week 4, like you should probably start, you know, being up at the stage where you're kind of ticking most boxes. But again, don't try to be perfect every single day because you can't be. So embrace imperfection. Okay, you didn't get to the gym today, but you're still set in your calorie deficit and you still smashed your steps. You couldn't get out and go on a walk today because the weather was absolutely torrential. Okay, well, you're at home. You can still stick to your calorie deficit and you can maybe do a home workout. Like there's always something you can do every day that can contribute to your goal. Just because you can't do one thing doesn't mean you shouldn't do everything else, okay? And that's one thing I learned very early on, like even before I started working with my coach and I lost a bit of weight even without his help, before he ever came along. I stopped giving up when I couldn't do one thing, you know? Oh, like I went over my calories today, better not go to the gym, better not go out and do my walk. No, like all those little things compound, like going to the gym and getting your steps in, even though you did go over your calories, it does make all the difference. So what's my plan? So I don't plan on drinking over the, I don't really drink when I'm in long-term calorie deficits or short-term calorie deficits, like unless it was like a wedding or something like that. But, you know, I always remember speaking about like my relationship with alcohol like years ago, especially in lockdown. I used to be a big binge drinker, but lads, I'm just at the age now where like the hangovers just aren't worth it. Like when I'm on holiday, like, yeah, I'll let loose and I enjoy myself and, you know, I'll do shots or whatever with my friends at the bar and stuff. But like, I just going out every weekend and just going on the lash, like you do grow out of it. Like I'm 33 this October and it just doesn't appeal to me anymore. Like even I had two opportunities this week to drink alcohol. I was at a gig, I was backstage and, you know, there was free alcohol backstage and I was like, oh, you know, I got a taxi here because the parking was shit. I just didn't want to drive in. And, you know, I could have drank. But then I'm waking up the next day and I'm feeling like shit and I'm just going to be like, oh, the steps can wait till tomorrow, or I'll just go to the gym another day. Like I know what my mindset is after a night out. And then there was another night, I was in Kilkenny for work just yesterday and I got back this morning. And again, I had a hotel room. I could have met up with friends down there and had a few drinks and I didn't. And I was like, why? I have a 12-kilometer run to do. I'm going to wake up feeling like shit and it's going to get pushed down to Monday. So I just know myself, it's not worth it. And then I was in Mayo as well for work two on Tuesday. Now I had a hotel, but again, it wasn't kind of a thing where I would have been drinking anyway, but could have drank if I wanted to. I had a hotel there, you know, I wouldn't have been driving. And I just said no. So what? So I can wake up the next day like with a big head on me and I'd have to drive like 3 hours home. Yeah, so it doesn't appeal to me anymore. Like I've had my fun over the last 5 months, you know. I went out while I'm on holidays. I've overate while I was away. And that's going to take a backseat now till I go on this Hens in Benidorm and I'll let loose again. Like, but I just feel like it's few and far between for me now, you know. And that's fine. So I have a couple of things coming up over the summer, but again, I just, for the next few weeks now, I think I'm going to be, I don't have much on. So, you know, I can kind of like go, like really, really focus now on my food and, you know, getting back to the gym. And I really do crave a routine. And even when I was in Australia, I was staying with a friend and she lives in Coogee in Sydney. And she lives like a 10-minute walk from the beach. And I used to love waking up every morning. I was there for 10 days, going down to the beach to get my coffee, which is exactly what I do at home, getting my steps in and then walking back. And then there was a gym, like a 10-minute walk from where she lived, and I had everything in it. And I would just go, and I think I went to the gym like 3 times while I was in Sydney. And I just love that little routine. I really do. And it's great to be back there. And I know now I've nothing booked, like any major holidays, and I can just get back in shape now. And I'm not rushing it. Like, that's another thing. When people like gain weight in like such a short space of time, and it could be because you went on a cruise or you went away for 3 weeks or you went traveling for a month and you come back and you're like, oh my God, I'm like 10 pounds heavier or a stone heavier. Like, you can always undo it. And if that's one thing you can take away from this podcast, like, I would be very naive to think I was going to stay the same way for the rest of my life. Like, there was definitely going to be a period like this. And it wasn't because, you know, I fell down a dark hole or, again, I went on a huge, massive binge and I started suffering with my mental health. And that could also be a reason why I fall off the wagon. I'm not saying it's not, but my reason was traveling and living my life and just making the most of it because I can now. And I, at the back of my mind, I was like, I'm not going to let food or calories hold me back while I'm on these holidays. There's a time and a place for tracking food and tracking macros. And while I'm abroad, it's just not that. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, I've done a podcast in the past where I said, when I go away, I do try to focus on good food. And don't get me wrong, I do. Like, when I'm going to a restaurant, when I'm abroad, I'm not thinking, what's the most calorie dense meal on this menu? Like, I'm not thinking like that. I'm thinking, what would I enjoy on this menu? Okay, chicken fajitas, lovely. But it is still ingrained in me, like, not to kind of get two carb sources and stuff like that. Like, you know, if I was abroad, I wouldn't get a chicken curry with rice and chips. Like, those little things do still be there. And that's just a force. That's just a habit. But at the same time, like, that's okay because, you know, it's minimizing damage. I'm still getting to enjoy the meal. Do I need two carb sources? No, you know, it's not like I'm just having the chicken curry on its own without any carb sources. But little things like that, like, I still think about. Or like, I would never have a starter, main and dessert, like, unless it was a wedding. Like, I just, yeah, that's just not me. And again, that's ingrained in me, like, the type of choices I make when I'm abroad when it comes to food. But however, like, you know, if someone's like, try this bakery in New York, it's gorgeous, I'll go to that bakery and I'll have that cookie that they recommended. Or try this pad thai in this restaurant in the PP Island, I'll go there and I'll try that. And I'll always just eat foods I enjoy. Like, I won't go out of my way to overeat, you know. But anyway, back to what I was speaking about. So that's the plan going forward now for the next 14 weeks. And then my coach was saying, you know, then we'll maintain, then up until Christmas, we might go into a bit of a surplus and work on building or adding more muscle tissue to my frame. Like, I can still see the shape of my frame is still there. I just have an awful lot more fluff now on the body. So I know once that melts away, like, the frame that I've built over the last couple of years will still be there. When I'm talking about frame, I'm talking about muscle tissue. Like, I was in the gym in Kilkenny, and again, like, so I've been meal prepping and stuff, and I've been traveling on the road, and those are the things that you have to do. Well, not that you have to do, but they make all the difference. I brought my own food with me in lunchboxes, bar Kilkenny now because they hadn't got a fridge in the hotel room. But when I was in Mayo, I brought my own food with me because the hotel room had a fridge. And those little things, those choices, they do compound. What was I saying there? Like, my mind's just gone blank, but I'm just going to assume this is what I was talking about. So, yeah, those little things now, like, that's what's going to change for me, as opposed to if I wasn't in a calorie deficit, I wouldn't be bringing down my own food. I'd probably just have something to eat in the restaurant down there, you know. But yeah, so it's back into a routine now and back into a calorie deficit, back into weekly check-ins with my coach. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I, again, crave routine, and I'm going to be documenting it on Instagram as well on a weekly basis, sorry, daily basis on my stories. But I'll be obviously doing the podcast weekly again, and I'll be just, you know, checking in with you guys, letting you know how it's going and, you know, the highs and lows of it, menstrual cycle, cravings, etc. And I don't expect to be pristine, picture perfect during this deficit. Like, there will be highs and lows, but I just know, like, I am going to give it my best shot. I've done loads of calorie deficits at this stage, and I know, like, when it comes to the scale, there's going to be fluctuations. Like, the scale doesn't even bother me now. Like, when I stand on that during a calorie deficit, oh, there's a spike today. Yeah, I know why. I know it's going to come down over the next day or two. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm not going to let it affect me. Like, you really learn to just not give a flying fuck about the scale, because you're like, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. So if after 2 weeks it hasn't changed, I'm like, okay, well, maybe we just need to drop our calories slightly or increase cardio slightly, one or the other. And then, you know, after a few days, it starts dropping. Like, you just need a tremendous amount of patience for this game. And I've learned and I've gained that over doing multiple calorie deficits. I'm a seasoned pro now at this stage. It just doesn't bother me anymore. I trust the process. And you, when you've done enough calorie deficits and you've done them the right way, in the most sustainable way, we actually build a healthy relationship with food and exercise. You don't let the small things affect you. You don't let it affect, you know, your journey, your day to day. Whereas people who go in at 200%, they don't see results after a week and then they give up. They are the ones that blame the scale for why they give up. Oh, no, I wasn't changing. Or how can you weigh yourself every day? Like, that would just like mess up my head. Like, I just, that'd send me off the rails. Like, someone actually asked me that the other day, like, do you not find when you weigh yourself every day, like, it affects you? And I'm like, no, because I tell you what would affect me. If I was only weighing myself once a week for 3 or 4 weeks and every day I stood on that scale, it was the same number. Or sorry, every time I stood on that scale, it was the same number. That's what would wreck my head. And I'd be missing the days where there was low numbers or there was new, you know, new numbers popping up. And that's what you spot when you're doing it on a daily basis. You might see, like, for example, let's say I weigh myself every Thursday. If I was only doing it once a week, and let's just say it was 65 this week, next week it was 65, the week after it was 65, and then 4 weeks later it was still 65. But on the Wednesday it could have been 64.5, on the Thursday it could have been 64.2. But I'm missing all these numbers because I'm only weighing in once a week. And then they turn around, these people, and they say, oh yeah, it's just not working. And then they go off the rails then one weekend, and then they say, oh, do you know what, I'm just going to start another time. And they were missing all these opportunities where their work actually was paying off and it was showing up on the scale. And I'm a big believer in the scale. It's just one metric, you know, to measure progress. But it is also an indication that things are moving and things are working. But at the end of the day, you know, there's going to be fluctuations. But I think you can't turn around and come to the conclusion that things aren't working if you're only weighing yourself once a week. And it could be on a Sunday after you went out for a meal on the Saturday, you know, it could be the day our menstrual cycle starts that you weigh yourself. Like, they just, these weigh-ins that you do once a week just happen to be the worst time of the week to weigh yourself. And you can't come to the conclusion that things aren't working. It's not enough evidence. If you weigh yourself 3 or 4 times a week, that's probably, you know, enough of a pattern to start, or that's probably, you know, enough weigh-ins to start noticing a pattern. To be like, okay, yeah, I can see it actually starting to trend down now. Like, you're not going to see a massive drop. You're not going to see like 2 to 3 kilos drop in a month. Like, you will initially lose a lot of water in the first week, which I did after my holiday just there recently. Like I said, I was nearly 68 kg, but it dropped back down to 65. But over time, you will see a downward trend. But I just think once a week, that would drive me mad. That would drive. Now, I do understand some people do want to protect themselves, and it does start to mess with their head. Like, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But just FYI, it's not enough data for you to come to the conclusion that your calories aren't working. Oh, can we drop my calories? The scale's still the same after 4 weeks. Okay, well, I could be 65 this week, and in 4 weeks I could be 65 if I weigh myself once a week. However, you know, there's going to be fluctuations. You have to allow for that. Like for example, I'm 65 kg. My scale can easily jump in 4 weeks time back up to 65 kg because it could be my menstrual cycle. I could, you know, I don't know, I'm just going to use that as an example. You know, the scale can jump by 2 to 3 to 4, sometimes 5, 6 pounds. If, for whatever reason, it could be your menstrual cycle, a tough workout. You may have eaten a lot of carbs the night before, eating foods you don't usually eat, you know, storing a lot of salt and stuff like that, sorry, a lot of water. Loads of reasons. So if you're still the same weight in 4 weeks time and you only weigh yourself once a week, it's still not enough evidence or, you know, enough data to conclude things aren't working. Because again, I could stand on the scale in 4 weeks' time and be the weight I am today, but I'm not going to think, oh, things aren't working, because there's going to be another six weigh-ins that week where I could be back down to 63. I could be back up at 64. I could be back to 63 again a few days later. Like, so that's why I weigh in daily. Because once a week would just really, really annoy me. And I don't think I could wait 7 days or 6 days to be like, oh, I wonder what I weigh now. Like, I love seeing it daily. I love seeing the daily drops. I love seeing the fluctuations, because it's like, wow, that's how the human body works. Like, I'd have like a meal later in the evening and the scale would be up the next day. And I remember years ago, I used to think, oh, I'm a woman on the lips, forever on the hips. And it's not. You've got food still sitting in your stomach. That's what that is. Or, you know, you ate out and there was just a lot more carbs in that meal, or there was a lot more salt, so you're retaining more water. And then you see the drop down and you're like, yes. Like, you know, you just see it. Like, you see the highs and the lows over the course of the week. And then, you know, what I do is I record, or I know it's the lowest weigh in each week, and I compare it to the week before. So my lowest weigh in this week was 65.1. So next week I hope to beat that, and it could be maybe 64.6 or 64.7. And then when you actually get that, you're like, oh, things are actually moving. There's a lot of fluctuations, but things are moving, you know. And I always, you probably, if you do follow me on Instagram, I take it down every day on my notes app, week one, week two, etc. And you can see gradually over time, the numbers start to decline. It doesn't happen, you know, in 1 week, but you'll notice over the course of 3 to 4 weeks, you can start to see the gradual decline. Start at 65 and by week four now, she's in 63s, you know. So it's just trusting the process and having patience. And I am recording on a daily basis on my Instagram, my daily weigh-ins, and a lot of people say they find it very interesting. And, you know, I love hearing people saying, oh, I've started doing it, and I've started recording like daily weigh-ins, and I've lost X amount of weight. And I actually have a better relationship with the scale now, because I can spot the spikes, because I know exactly why they spike. Sorry, I worded that the wrong way. When I have a spike, I know exactly why I have it now. Whereas beforehand, I used to just lose faith and think, oh, I'm actually gaining weight. When I know it's, no, I was out for a meal last night, that's why it spiked. Oh no, it's my time of the month, and I know it's going to start dropping down again after I'm a few days into my menstrual cycle, or my period, I mean. So it's great seeing that I've helped people, you know, better their relationship with the scale, because they understand it now and they know there's logical reasons why there's fluctuations, rather than just looking at a spike and thinking straight away, this is not working, or, oh my God, I've ruined everything. You know, just jump at the conclusion straight away, when it's just trusting the process and it's thinking, okay, there's a spike here. Let's take a step back and think logically. Why would there be a spike? What did I do differently yesterday? And sometimes, you know, sometimes you did everything you were supposed to be doing. You had a good sleep. You stuck to your calories. You ate your usual food. It's not your time of the month. Maybe you had a tough workout and your muscles are just inflamed and your body's holding on to water as a healing mechanism. Or, you know, well, I actually haven't been to the toilet in a few days. So there's obviously a backlog lingering in there somewhere, and that's going to weigh something. Sometimes you can do everything you're supposed to be doing, but the spikes will come. Okay, they are inevitable. And then they're just so worth it then when you see the lows, because you've stuck it out and you've trusted the process. But look, enough babbling on. Again, if you do listen to my podcast on a weekly basis, you'll notice that sometimes I go off in tangents. I don't make sense sometimes when I speak, but I do try to get it across in the best way possible. I'm not going to say I dumb it down, but I try to explain it in the best way possible. Because I was once on the other side of this podcast, and listening to stuff like this helped better educate me and, you know, improve my relationship with exercise and nutrition. But look, thanks for listening to this episode. Stay tuned. I will be documenting my calorie deficit over the next 14 weeks to see where we end up at the end. And then obviously discussing a number of other topics as well on a weekly basis. So see you in the next one. And if you did do the VHI mini marathon this weekend, which was today is Sunday, it's the 4th of June, well done. And I will see yous in the next one.